Okay, can we... Annalise is going to read us the summary. I promise you're next. we're on 2447.
Case 2447, the complaint is Thomas Morin. The respondent is Jason Long, DVM. On August 26, 2023, Stinker, a 17-year-old female Siamese cat, was presented to the respondent for difficulty breathing. Blood work and radiographs were recommended by respondent. Complaint declined radiographs and approved blood work. Complaint elected conservative treatment that had helped in the past and was discharged. On September 1st, 2023, the cat was presented to respondent for subacute fluid demonstration. On September 5th, 2023, complainant called respondent's premises to request euthanasia services. Staff put complainant on hold. Complainant disconnected the call. When staff called complainant back, he advised that the cat has passed away. And the committee concluded that no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act occurred. It was moved and seconded. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We do not have the respondent nor the complainant present, and Ms. Frost, you are the lead.
Yes, thank you. The complaint in this matter was pretty straightforward, and where it was super sad that Stinker passed away. The medical record didn't support the complaint, and it does seem that they did everything in their power to be as supportive as possible given the circumstances. So in this case, I would agree with the investigative committee and make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Okay, motion and second to dismiss case 2447. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We are now going to do number 19, 24119, in regards to Barbara Backe, DVM. Please note that Ms. Frost is recused. Annalise, you want to read the front load?
May I grab the licensee from the room up there?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yes.
There is no front load.
Okay. That's right. Thank you. I don't think we are either. So
right.
That's okay. All right. Thank you both for being here today. Dr. Wright, you're the lead, and so however we want to start this.
Yeah. Thank you. So thank you for being here. Unfortunately, the time frame on this one's a little bit odd. The paperwork wasn't fully supposed to be submitted until tomorrow. And because of that, we want to make sure that we're kind of doing everything right, getting all the proper information. But this was agendized, so we have to address it specifically. Due to that, needing to kind of get the more complete information, I would make a motion to pen this until next month for further examination.
Second.
I'm sorry.
I would just note, first of all, we did send in our response only because we wanted the board, if it chose to look at it, have what it needed. I understand both the combination of the timing and Tracy being out that this might be a little tricky for today. We did make some potential suggestions for materials that the board might want to utilize its subpoena power on. Just do it the correct way about getting some additional documentation. We think it might be helpful in addressing, because there is a concern about behaviors on the night of the 23rd and 24th, there's some additional documentation that might be helpful towards that. So we did make some suggested requests for the investigator. Obviously not our place to investigate it, but we wanted to offer some suggestions. And she has obviously responded fully ahead of the deadline, just so that we were able to speak coherently yeah. about the case with the board.
Okay.
But we wouldn't object to append, obviously.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and what I said, we definitely want to be fair and everything, go through all this process. But yeah, just based on timing, time frame, I think it's best append it until next month, then we'll reassess and go from there.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a motion and a second to append.
Yeah.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Victoria. Thank you. I want to wrap up a few more of the IARs. If yes. anyone just needs to run out to go to the bathroom, please do
That's
so, good. Okay?
Finish them up.
Okay. So we are on number 10, 2456, in regards to Richard Ragusa, DVM.
Case 2456. The complaint is Deborah Darmo-Wolf. Respondent is Richard Ragusa, DVM. On April 19th, 2023, a 14-year-old Kelpie mix was presented to respondent for a wellness exam and possible euthanasia. After assisting complainant in getting the dog into the building and into an exam room, staff discussed quality of life with the complainant. Complainant had financial constraints and expressed concerns that the dog may pass away on her upcoming trip back to Oregon. Staff explained that complainant may spend money on diagnostics and conclude that the dog needed to be euthanized. Complainant elected to humanely euthanize the dog. She completed and signed the paperwork requesting an individual cremation with special urn. Respondent euthanized with dog with complainant present in the room. The following week, complainant picked up the pet's cremains. No concerns or dissatisfaction was voiced by the complainant at that time. Complaint contends that she was coerced into euthanizing the dog instead of performing an exam and diagnostics. The committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act occurred. It was moved and seconded to dismiss this issue by the vote of 3-0.
Thank you. We do not have the respondent nor the complainant present. And Ms. Frost, you are the lead.
Yes. I mean, clearly there's some significant grief in the complaint and very difficult this decision to have made for the complainant. All right, I can't find any information that makes me believe that she was, you know, forced into the decision. And yes, it is common to complete euthanasia paperwork and paying for services and such prior, just because that way you can stay as long as you wish, or you can leave at your convenience afterwards. And so, where I'm very sorry for her loss, it seems like the correct decision was made on both sides. So, I would agree with the investigative committee and make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Okay, a motion and a second to dismiss case 2456. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We are now on number 11, 2457, regards to Janie Carr, DVM. Elise?
She sent some information yesterday as well, and that was uploaded just in case. Case 2457, the complaint is Susan Daniels. Respondent is Janie Carr, DVM. On January 23, 2023, Pearl, an 8.5-year-old female German Shepherd, was presented to respondent's associate, Dr. Ashburn, for an ear hematoma. Dr. Ashburn recommended surgical repair, which would be performed by a respondent. Complaint agreed. The surgery was performed, and the dog was administered an injection of carprofen. At discharge, it was discovered the dog was on meloxicam, which was not disclosed by complaint prior to surgery. Complainant was instructed to discontinue all NSAIDs, and the dog was prescribed stomach protectants. According to complaint, since that time, the dog's condition declined until she was eventually euthanized by respondent on October 23, 2023. Complainant expressed concern that respondent did not review the dog's medical records to see what medications the dog was on. She believed the Cortrophin injection led to the dog's demise 9 months later. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act occurred. It was moved and seconded. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
Okay. Thank you. Again, we do not have the respondent nor the complainant present. And Dr. Nosley, you are the lead.
Okay. The issues in this case concerning the patient being on meloxicam and then receiving carprofen injection. The complainant states in her narrative only that when asked if the patient was on medication, she answered yes, but none today. The complainant believes that their respondent should have checked the record. And it doesn't matter what's in the record, it matters what's in the dog. So that's why we all know every time we go to a doctor, here's our list of medications, and it's all over our records. So I don't think checking the records would be a reason that the meloxicam carprofen thing would have been caught. I was curious about, in the materials from the respondent, though, there's a sheet with a large typewritten lettering that lists the meloxicam, and that came from the respondent. So I just don't know what to do with that. I think more importantly, on the intake form, there's a handwritten section with a list of medications that does not include the meloxicam. And like I say, this is part of the intake form. And so this is the question and answer. What are we on right now? And this is what the intake person wrote down. And that did not include meloxicam. So that, to me, there was an attempt on the clinic's part to get those medications. The respondents' preventative medications for possible NSAID toxicity, I think, were totally appropriate. Then we have the issue of this patient's history. Had a long history of GI disease as well as other maladies, including a hepatopathy of some kind, a positive E-canis test, been on multiple medications over the course of the problems, the GI problems at two different hospitals, diagnosed as chronic pancreatitis, did a trial of pancreatic enzymes. So there are a lot of other possibilities for what's going on with this patient. IBD, maybe even GI lymphoma near the end. We don't have a necropsy. So all we're going on is weight loss that was addressed 4 or 5 months later, and then a fairly rapid decline. So there are many possibilities and no necropsy. As far as NSAID toxicity goes, I'm unaware of any chronic wasting disease. We had the predominant symptom of weight loss in this patient that would be caused by NSAID toxicity. NSAID toxicity, or an adverse reaction to NSAIDs, occurs within hours to a few days and almost always consists of GI ulceration, vomiting, diarrhea, often hemorrhagic. We don't have any evidence of any abnormality consistent with any severe organ or system damage for this 5 to 8 month period. We had some liver enzymes. Liver isn't even commonly associated with NSAID toxicity except for one study in Labradors early on. So I don't find any basis to find a violation. And so I would make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second. I'll second that with a comment.
Comment.
fast over there. But I want to comment that there was a communication issue with the carprofen administration along with meloxicam, and that's just one of those things, unfortunately, that can happen. To me, the most important thing is what happens after the fact. And it looks like this was handled properly. I mean, the dog was started on sucralfate, omeprazole. The owner was told to monitor for any kind of bloody diarrhea, vomiting. So even if there were to be an interaction with and with just one shot of carprofen, the chance of that is pretty darn low. This was handled properly for those acute diseases. So yeah, I agree that, like I said, this is not a contributing factor. It's just an unfortunate situation for an older dog.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to dismiss case 2457. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion passes. We'll keep going a couple more, and then I myself will need a bathroom break. But we're on number 12, 2460, in regards to Monica Durgan, DVM. Annalise?
Case 2460, the complaint is skin edema. Respondent is Monica Durgan, DVM. On October 19th, 2023, Penelope, a 4-year-old female domestic medium-haired cat, was presented to respondent for spay procedure. The surgery was performed and the cat was discharged later that day. Complaint was contacted the following day and there was no concern. On October 26, 2023, the cat was presented to an emergency facility due to incision dehiscence and infection due to cat licking the incision. Complaint had concerns with the information she was provided with respect to a cat's heat cycle and Elizabethan collar not being recommended. Staff's demeanor was unfriendly and she could not reach the premises to have the cat's incision checked. And the committee concluded that no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act occurred. It was moved and seconded. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
Okay, thank you. We do not have the respondent nor the complainant present. And Dr. Thompson, you want to lead?
Yeah, with this case, I feel like medically there wasn't necessarily anything in violation, but I do have concerns on, e-collars are tricky with cats. I will say even in our own clinic, we started doing it, we found more complications after we were using the e-collars because they were freaking out with having them on. But was there good communication with the client as far as making sure that that incision was not licked at and opened up? Same piece with the tattoo. I had a really difficult time reading the scanned image in our packet for like the pre-op. So I couldn't tell if it was mentioned in the pre-op part that a tattoo would be put on the patient during the spay. It was definitely mentioned in the post-op instructions, but obviously at that point it's already done. So, my recommendation definitely would be, I think it was mentioned that it is through conversations on this case, but I could not see it myself. But again, it's really fuzzy on this page. I know that there was some concerns about bruising distal to the incision, but based on the description, it sounds like the bruising was pretty considerably distal to where the incision was, so I'm not sure if that was an injury that was sustained by the cat at a later date. So I guess for me, I would agree with the recommendation and dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second to dismiss case 2460. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Pretty impressive 4 minutes made.
Uh-huh.
I haven't got done with that yet. I don't think I ever will.
Okay. And then we are going to finish up. We are on number 15, 2492, in regards to Shane Garner, DVM. This is a premise inspection one, correct? If Annalise wants to...
Yeah, so case 2492, the complaint is the Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board. The respondent is Shane Garner, DVM. On January 17th, 2024, the Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board opened an investigation regarding respondent's conduct with respect to the absence of a controlled substance inventory log for the entire year of 2023. Prior to that, drug logs had not been maintained since 2021. In this case, went straight to court.
Okay. We do have Ms. Garner available via phone. However, I don't know that we necessarily need to call her. Ms. Frost, you're the lead, so you let me know. But I think what we have is...
Yes.
Fairly straightforward.
Yes. So yes, the case was opened by the board, and so at that time we've received a response. So in reviewing the response, I don't know that there's really any excuse. There was definitely ownership of the fact that, you trust that things are being done, and then you find out otherwise, which again is on the registrant for the DEA, and then obviously in compliance with the board. Now we do see the resolution to the violation, which looks complete. For the record, I would say that total in stock is a little bit confusing on the inventory log. I mean, personally, I recommend saying total received. It's total in stock.
Just
if you're using substances, that's typically going to be on your in-use log. So that would just be maybe a little bit of advice, or not necessarily nitpicking, but some advice. As far as the binder location, there's really not statute regarding that. However, I would just like to state for the record that the inventory logs and invoices are very nice security double checks if bottles go missing. And so when you move the binders to the same location as where the drug safe is, it doesn't really give you much of a fail safe, because somebody can remove pages, take the logs, they can disappear. And so, you know, if I'm saying this to somebody who may be listening to the recording, as a DEA registrant, I think it's a great fail safe to make sure that what was ordered matches what the logs, you know, that are in use say. And then if you have discrepancies of a bottle missing, you can go back and double check those things. So I would say that where it was before may have been better, with less access and less people knowledgeable of that process, other than the registrant and maybe somebody that assists them. But again, not necessarily a violation, just best practices. So, again, with the response and given the circumstances of no longer being the premise license holder, I would make a recommendation to dismiss with no violation, but to issue a letter of concern regarding following our statutes when it comes to controlled substances, especially as the DEA registrant representing the inventory and as the premise license holder. And then there would have already been a new inspection order for the new registrant, correct?
There was, and it was better.
Great, okay. So that's all I have for my motion.
Thank you. So we have a motion. Is there a second to?
Quick question,
sure.
Victoria. Has DEA been notified already of this?
When it was first discovered after the first year,
yes,
they were, but not a second.
Okay, because I think we need to add, let DEA know that this was a continuing problem.
Well, I'm just wondering, I mean, because we're missing an entire year, why is there not a violation here? I don't even know if she's not working there anymore, that was still in the past, so that's
right.
What happened. And that is still a violation of our
311-501-5
for the actual drug log maintaining. So, I mean, we're missing a year. I don't know if that's just a dismissal. That's a violation in my eyes.
It was two years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I don't understand the logic behind dismissing it just because she's no longer employed. That's not something we can go back and fix. That's
right.
It wasn't done.
There hasn't been a second yet to that motion, I don't think.
That's okay. You can make a new motion, but that's the motion that I have.
I would second it. I was like, I guess I understand where.
But mostly because there was a different registrant, right? And there was a different premise license holder in these other years. And then she was a new premise license holder and registrant in this year, so I don't think violation for her in his.
So she wasn't there when the, I'm sorry.
The first inspection. So the one you're referring to in 2021, right?
No, she was.
She was there for that whole year.
She had set the process right the way I understood it. She had set the process in place, she had set everything up, she had her hospital manager doing it, and it wasn't done. And yes, it ultimately falls on her, but
right.
But in my mind, she has taken action, and all the other logs were correct. that she was seeing on a regular basis, so it was kind of like this log got missed because she wasn't looking at that log.
For a long time. I mean, taking action, I think, goes more to the punitive portion as opposed to the violation portion, in my opinion. It's still a violation. It's just she's corrected it, so what is that change in the actual board order? That's the only thing that I think corrective action does. Corrective action still doesn't excuse the missing logs for that long under DEA drugs. That's kind of my concern there. But again, we have a motion and a second, so I guess we can vote and go for
that. Let's vote on that. A motion and a second to dismiss case 2492 and issue a letter of concern. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Nay. Was that 4-3?
Four. You? I said aye.
Aye.
It was 4-3.
4-3. Dr. Nosley, sorry. 4-3.
So motion passes. Okay, we're going to take a bathroom break.
Yes.
And then come back. Try and be quick. Stretch our legs.